Okay, so we're continuing with some passages from John, chapter 14 and 15. And so this week we've got our passage here about Jesus asking God, saying he will ask the Father to send the Spirit. I remember my brother telling me once how, as a teenager, he'd been on his way home from school and he'd seen a headline on a billboard, a newspaper headline, which had shocked and horrified him. It was that Bill Shankly had resigned. Now, even those of you who weren't around in Liverpool in the 70s may have heard of Bill Shankly. He was the manager who transformed Liverpool football team. And he took them from the what was then the second division, now known as the Championship, into the top flight, what's now the Premiership, where they've remained ever since, and winning numerous trophies on the way. He was, and in some homes still is, a truly revered figure. And then in 1974, at the peak of his career, having just won the FA Cup, he suddenly and unexpectedly announced his retirement. And for fans, many fans, this was traumatic. They were devastated. What would happen to the club? Who could possibly replace him? How would the team survive? There was a lot of worry and anxiety for the future amongst both the fans and the players. I wonder what Bill said to them in those remaining weeks before he left. Which brings us in a roundabout way to our passage today. I'll leave you to draw the parallels between the fortunes of a football team and the embryonic church. But we do have here some of the final words that Jesus spoke to his closest followers. The passage here is part of what's known as the farewell discourses of Jesus, starting at chapter 13 in John's Gospel. The words he spoke to them, knowing he would shortly be leaving them to face arrest and trial and execution. Like the football fans in Liverpool, they weren't expecting this, even though Jesus had been trying to get them to understand that his mission as Messiah would involve dying and, of course, rising again. He told them at the start of this section in chapter 13 that he would be leaving them and that they wouldn't be able to follow him. And understandably, they're pretty upset. They've been with him constantly for 3 years now. He's taught them, he's led them, he's been with them all that time, and he's completely transformed their lives. And now they're beginning to realize, at last, that he's going away. So no wonder they're shocked and anxious. How will they cope without him? So Jesus' purpose here is to reassure them. In verse 1 of chapter 14, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Don't worry, he's saying. Jesus is going away, but they won't be left alone. In verse 18 in our passage, he says, "I will not leave you as orphans." He makes them a promise that he will ask God the Father, and he will send his Spirit. Now, what do we think of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? He's sometimes described as the shy member of the Trinity being God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go in depth into the nature of the Trinity, partly because it's not Trinity Sunday, so we can leave it till then, and partly because it's difficult, so someone else can do that. But the Spirit is referred to as the shy member because we tend to hear and focus far more on God the Father and on Jesus than on the Spirit. Maybe we're worried that the Spirit is going to involve weird and wonderful things that take us out of our comfort zone. And maybe he is. Jesus, earlier in the Gospel, compares the Spirit to the wind, saying that it blows wherever it pleases, that it can't be neatly controlled, made to fit in with an orderly lifestyle. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating Pentecost, that great outpouring of the Spirit to the apostles, accompanied by wind and fire and their Spirit-given ability to communicate with people of all languages, a truly weird and very wonderful event. But we're not there yet, and the aspect of the Spirit which Jesus focuses on here is not in any way scary or troubling, but deeply comforting. Because Jesus' purpose is to reassure his band of followers who feel they're suddenly going to be bereft without their guide, mentor, friend, to reassure them that he is not abandoning them. So what does Jesus say about the Spirit, and how will that help them not to feel abandoned? He describes him, and I'll refer to the Spirit as him, he, though it could just as well be she, but definitely a person, not an it. Jesus describes him as another advocate in verse 16. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." That word that we've got translated here as advocate is sometimes translated as comforter, counselor, helper. An advocate is a word that we're perhaps most familiar with in the sense of a law court, someone who speaks up on behalf of their client, who pleads their case, who champions their cause. We sometimes speak of a children's advocate, someone who speaks up for those who are more vulnerable. And the other words I mentioned, comforter, counselor, helper, the one who brings us comfort when we're troubled or hurting, wise advice as we navigate the challenges of life. The Greek word that has all these various translations is a word paraclete, and it literally means one who comes alongside. And all those ideas of supporting, encouraging, comforting, guiding are found in that word. The Spirit is the one who is with us, alongside us, someone who's there for us. I read a story recently about a woman who was going through a difficult time. She'd been bereaved, and she was at a conference. And people kept asking her how she was and how she was getting on, and it all got a bit much. So she went outside and just sat for a bit, and someone came up to her and asked if she could do anything to help, to which the woman replied, "Just sit with me." Maybe that's a helpful way of thinking about the Spirit, the essence of one who comes alongside, one who is there to be with us when we're hurting or anxious or in need of advice or comfort, one who will just sit with us, not just in the crises of life, but there always, always present in the ups and downs of daily life. So the Spirit is an advocate, one who comes alongside, who will just sit and be with us. And the other word of those two that Jesus uses to describe the Spirit is another. He calls him another advocate, which means they already have one. You can only have another if you've already got one. And the one they already have, by implication, is Jesus. So the Spirit is coming to continue what Jesus has been to them all along, all through his ministry, guiding, comforting, sometimes also challenging, a mentor, friend, advisor. Jesus knows that his time on earth is limited. He'll no longer be walking in physical, bodily form with them. But the gift of the Spirit is the wonderful way in which Jesus can still be with them and us all the time, everywhere, which he couldn't whilst he was in human form. In other words, it's the way by which we can have Jesus, by his Spirit, right next to us to help us whenever we need it, to comfort us and guide, not bound by the limitations of space or time, but able to be with and come alongside each one of us all the time. Sometimes people say, oh, it'd be much easier to be a follower of Jesus if we'd been there when he was around on earth. We could see and hear the physical person. But that's probably wrong for two reasons. One is a lot of people did see him in person at the time, but still didn't believe in him. And in fact, for some, the fact that he was there looking like an ordinary human being made it more difficult for them to believe that he was God. And secondly, he's promised that he will still be around for his people for all the time. And he does this by his Spirit. So we have the Spirit with us, alongside us. And that's the way in which we have Jesus with us, alongside us. The Spirit, in a sense, takes over from Jesus in being present with each of us in all places at all times. And this is a firm promise from Jesus. He says he will ask the Father, and he, the Father, will give his followers the Spirit to be with them, with us, forever. And Jesus' promises can be relied on. He's not some politician trying to win our votes who ditches their promises as soon as things get difficult. Jesus is God, and his nature is to be faithful, true, trustworthy. And if we're thinking of this way in which Jesus, in a sense, hands over this role to the Spirit, Jesus doesn't have to worry about whether his successor will do a good job or not. He and the Spirit are part of one being with the Father, the mystery of the Trinity again. So they have the same nature. There's no danger of the Spirit going off on his own course. This promise that Jesus has made, the promise we can rely on to be with his followers by his Spirit, is true for all time, for us today, as well as the disciples 2,000 years ago. When we sign up to follow Jesus, we're not just subscribing to a set of beliefs about God. He invites us into relationship. And for there to be relationship, there must be a person we can relate to. Jesus alongside us by his Spirit, to help, comfort, and encourage us. Maybe we don't always acknowledge that. Maybe we think we have to get on with the stuff of life by our own efforts. And maybe sometimes we prefer it that way. But the Spirit isn't shown here as a controller. He's not power hungry, trying to take over our lives. He doesn't force his way in. He won't be pushy when we allow other competing and perhaps not so helpful voices around us to drown him out. But when we look for and acknowledge his presence alongside us, when we listen out for his voice and learn to distinguish it, then he makes his presence felt. Maybe it's that little voice of conscience that we sometimes try and silence. Maybe it's that inexplicable sense of peace in the midst of difficulties, or a nudge to do or say something that pops into our minds that turns out to be just the right thing, or clarity on a decision that's been bothering us. So whether we're used to relying day by day on God's presence alongside us by his Spirit, or whether it's not something that we've consciously done, can we this week and the one after and the one after that hold that picture of the image picture of the Spirit being alongside us as we go about our daily lives, in every aspect of it. Beside us as we go into the office or workplace, maybe having to deal with a difficult colleague. Beside us as we speak with parents at the school gates. Beside us as we meet up with our friends in the pub or in the coffee shop. Wherever we are, let's listen out for his prompting. Let's ask for his help and guidance. Accept the comfort that he brings. Welcome and make space for him to sit and be with us.